Praise God. Amen and amen and amen. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola. Tonight, we're just excited to bring God's word to you. Amen and amen. We're excited to bring God's word to you. And we believe so strongly that tonight, as you hear God's word, you will be changed. So I want to encourage you to get your friends in. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Good evening. My name is Adedayo Babalola. Tonight, we're going to be sharing God's word. And we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. We believe so strongly today that you will be indeed edified, you know, and the name of the Lord will indeed be glorified. We are looking into a teaching today that we have titled Discerning the Lord's Body. We expect that you share with your friends and with your colleagues, right? Praise God. And then we believe that you will be blessed indeed. Let's get into it very quickly tonight. First John chapter 3, look at verse 1. First John chapter 3, verse 1. What does it say there? It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Let's take it again. It says, behold, what manner of love. He's talking about the intensity of the love of God. He says, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we may be called sons of God. The first thing I want you to say is, God loves me. I want you to say that so boldly. God loves me. Amen. Praise God. Now he says, behold, look at it. Look at the manner of love the Father has for us. What is the proof of the Father's love for us? He says that we may be called sons of God. So the end result of the love of God for you is not anything that happens in your life or anything that doesn't happen in your life. The end result of the love of God for you is in that you are now a child of God. You are now legally a child of God. Look at the scriptures in Romans 5 verse 8. Just put your hand in 1 John and go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. It says there, it says in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice the love of God. The love of God is not for Christians. The love of God is for everyone. The proof of the love of God is that when man was not good enough, this is radical stuff. When man, it wasn't that man was good enough. It wasn't that man was lovely enough. It wasn't that man was anything enough. The proof of the love of God for you and I, that is why the love of God for you is static. The proof of that love is that while we are yet dead in sins, God's love is not something that we pushed him to do. We forced him to do. God's love is something that comes to us because the nature of God is love. Praise God. God commended, he commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Radical stuff. Amen. And God actually has made this love available to everybody. John 3:16 tells you, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him. What is the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, or a Christian and an unbeliever? Right? A Christian of love, the Father has given unto us that we may be called, that we may be called, that we may be called sons of God. Praise God. That we may be called sons of God. Now are we sons of God. Now are we sons of God. So look at 1 John 3 verse 1. 1 John 3 verse 1. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. We are looking at the body, discerning the body. 1 John 3, look at verse 1. It says, Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that we will be called sons of God. So being a child of God is the proof of the love of God for us. So when I say I am a son of God, I mean I am the one that has received God's love. Praise God. So sonship is the revelation. It is the proof of God's love to us. The highest that a man can be in God is to be a son. Praise God. He says that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Do you notice that? The world does not know us in this high state of being royal and regal and being sons of God. But he says what? Because they did not know Jesus. When Jesus came to the world, the Bible says he came to his own received him not. They did not know Jesus because they knew him and looked at him after the flesh. Amen and amen. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Is Jesus going to appear someday? Yes. What is the hope? We will be like him. How, you know, but when we say we would be like him, what we are trying to say there is that how he is, that is how we will be. But yet, praise God. Hallelujah. Why? We are already in him. We are already in him. So we are now members of his body. Remember, we are looking at descending the body. We are now members of the body. We are now one in Christ. We are now children of God. Praise God. We are now members of the household of God. Why? We are the ones that have received the love of God. So Christianity is not about your love for God. Christianity is about God's love for you. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at it right there, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. The emphasis of the Christian life, your life starts to change as you behold the love that the Father has towards you. Praise God. Your life starts to change as you behold the love that the Father has for you. Because the message of the gospel is about the love of God and receiving or not receiving the love of God. So let's look at a couple of things here. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. He says, this is then the message which ye have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light. Write it down. You know, I was talking about the love of God. I'm going to show you that the love of God is the light of God. Okay, look at it. He says, the message that we are trying to tell you is that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Notice it again. He says, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Look at it. God is what? Light. And there is no darkness in him at all. No evil in God at all. Now look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. Which old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning? Look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which then is true in him and in you. It's true in him and in you that have believed on him. Look at it. It says, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Look at verse 9. You know, I'm trying to show you that God is light. I mean, God is love. And that is the message that we have been trying to tell you. Look at verse 9. He that saith is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even unto now. Are you noticing it here? He that saith is in the light. So light equals love. So what have we received from God? We have received the love of the Father. What is that love of the Father? It is the love of the Father that lightened our hearts. Praise God. In the love of the Father that lightened our hearts, its effect is that we love the brother. Praise God. Look at it. We love the brother. We go all out for the brother. You know, when we repeat these things, one of the beauties of a good teacher is to repeat anyway. You know, the more I repeat about the love of God, brethren, serving the brethren, the more you are wondering, is that all that it is in Christianity? Yes, that is it. Praise God. Look at verse 9. He that saith is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness. So the love walk is wisdom. The love walk is light.
When I choose to walk outside that which I have received from God, I am not being wise, I am being stupid. I am being foolish. Why? The love of God is light. The love of God is wisdom. The love of God, the world will say to you, maybe this one is foolish, maybe this, but the Bible tells you when the man who is meant to walk in love is walking outside of love, is walking in darkness. Look at John 2. Look at it. It says in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Are you seeing it there? He started with telling you about light, but he's actually telling you about love. He that loveth, let me tell you something. The Christian life is you focusing on your brethren. The Christian life is you focusing and see the love of God. How do I know that you are praying? How do I know that you are studying God's word? It is in that it leads up. It leads up to serving the brethren. It is in that it leads up to being in a local church. It is in that it leads up to living and dying for the brethren. So, Pastor, you say, Pastor, that is that it? Yeah, he actually is it. Because the Bible says, he that saith is walking in the light and actually is not living for the brethren. The Bible says he is walking in darkness even unto now. It's very important. Look at it again. 1 John 2, look at it now. Look at it now. It says in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. If you read it in the original, it says, through this man's acts and actions, he does not stumble, neither does he cause others to stumble because of him. Love is your anti-stumbling pill. I need to understand this thing. He says, he that walks in love, there is no occasion of stumbling in him. This is very important. Why? The world is not shaped that way. The world is shaped that you would live unto self. Are you understanding it now? Look at it there. Look at it again. Hey, look at verse 11. But he that hated his brother, what is he in? He is in darkness. He walks in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. What is the love walk? The love walk is light. When I am walking outside of love, what am I? I am blind. You know, you might say, I want to do what I like to do, but and you choose to walk out of love. What does the Bible call you? Blind. You are walking blindly. Walking out of love. Anytime you do not put the love walk as priority, brother, you are blind. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are walking in blind in darkness. You don't have to. Why? Because the love of God is priority to us. It is vision to us. It is direction to us. It leads us. Amen and amen. Praise God. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 11. We are discerning the body. I'm trying to get you to really see something. We are all members of the same body. And in being members of the same body, we are called to serve one another. In serving one another, we are walking in the light. Not serving one another and being there for one another and fraternizing with one another and eating with one another. Brother, we are walking in darkness. We one to another, affecting the body. Look at 1 John 3. I hope someone is getting this. Amen and amen and amen. 1 John chapter 3. Are you there? Look at verse 10. In these the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not righteous, neither he that loveth not his brother. Please follow. The emphasis and the theme here is love. Look at verse 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What is Genesis about? The love of God. Hallelujah. What is the Old Testament about? The love of God towards man. That man either rejected or accepted. Who is Abraham? A man that God spoke the gospel of his love to and he accepted it. Who is Abel? A man that God spoke the love of God to and he accepted it. Who is Cain? The man that God spoke the love of God to and he rejected it. Look at verse 12. Not as Cain. What did Cain do? Who was of the wicked one? Cain did not embrace the love of God that was sent towards him. The message of the gospel, the message, the truth of God came to Cain and came to Abel. Hallelujah. But what happened? Cain did not accept it. Abel accepted it. So what did the Bible call Cain? Though he was of the wicked one. What ended up happening to Cain? He killed his brother. Why? Why? When a man walks out of love, he is in darkness. And in darkness, what he thinks is right is now wrong. Are you getting it? That is why the Bible tells us here that he killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil. Because he rejected the gospel. The Bible says when you unbelief is evil, right? From the fruits of unbelief, death comes. So what is this? What is the gospel telling us here? The gospel is telling us that love is your safety. Love is the way to live. Love is the life. Loving, serving, loving the brotherhood is the vision of the believer. Hallelujah. No greater vision emerges for the believer than to love the brethren. Hallelujah. Praise God. First Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 16. It says, you are free. Remember, you started off from, I have received the gospel. I have believed on the gospel. In believing on the gospel, I have received the love of God. I know how much God loves me. I now spend my life serving other men. Not so that I can be praised, not for reward, not for thank you, but because it's my nature. Because it's what I've received of the Father. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Pleasing me is no longer my priority. Serving men is what is my priority. And that is what happens as you grow spiritually. The more you know God, the more you do not want to live for yourself. The more you want to live for other people, the more love reigns in your life. Spiritual growth is God's will for you. In growing spiritually, it will lead you to serving other men. Hallelujah. 1 John 2. Look at verse 16. You are free. You know, this is where people close their Bibles. 1 Peter 2:16. When we say we are free, you know a lot of people like the gospel. You are now a new creation. You are the righteousness of God. It's true. Oh, what glorious truth. The fact that now we have been justified. We are righteous. We are now in Christ. There is no more condemnation for us because we are now in Christ Jesus. But a lot of people stop there. Verse 16, it says, as free. People just stop. I'm free. And that's where they stop. No. Read it on. But not using your liberty. Do you have liberty? Yes. Not using your liberty as an excuse for misbehavior, as an excuse for maliciousness, as an excuse for wickedness. You know something? A lot of people are very, very stupid. You know what they do? They are very foolish. You know what they do? They do things like, you know what? I can do this at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I'm born again. I'm the righteousness of God. No, you are being stupid on the earth. The Bible says you are free, yes, but it is not an excuse for maliciousness. Your freedom is for service. When God made you free so that you can become a servant. Pastor Dayo, look at verse 16. As free, but not using, there is a way to use your freedom that you are acting like an antichrist. The freedom in the saint leads you to a bondage of love. The freedom in the saint, that's an antithesis. The freedom in the saint leads you to a what? A bondage of love. Meaning you are free, but the freedom has gotten you loving. That loving determines and directs what you do. Look at it. As free, but not using your freedom, your liberty as for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Who is every believer? A servant of God. What do you do with your life? Serving God. How do you serve God? Serving men. How will you serve men? Serving the brethren. How will you serve the brethren? Finding a local church. How will you find a local church? Ask God and let him lead you to a local church. When you find the local church, what do you do? You serve men there and the vision there. And then God starts to blossom in your heart that which you are to do. Hallelujah. He says, as free. But what? Serving God. How do you serve God? You see it in the next verse. Serving men. Look at verse 17. Honor all. He puts men there in the intellect. Honor all men, because serving God is serving men. He says, love the brotherhood. Write it down. The brotherhood. You love the brotherhood. You see, you are meant to be affectionate about your brother. When you hear or see or know that your brother is in a tough time, you die there with him. That is the love of God. That is what God has done for us. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says we rejoice with them that rejoice. Not saying we are rejoicing with you so that when we are rejoicing with you, God will do our own. No. That's how poor people talk. You are rich in Christ. Hallelujah. The riches of our liberality is righteousness. Are you getting it? So when people are rejoicing, we are rejoicing because we are members of the same body. We are not rejoicing with a covetous philosophy. You know, a covetous philosophy will say, as we are rejoicing with you, God will do our own. No, God is not doing anything. He doesn't have to do anything. We rejoice with those that are rejoicing because that is our nature. We weep with those that are weeping. Okay, why don't we weep with those that are weeping? Why don't we say God is going to bring our own weeping? Are you getting it now? But no, it is the nature of the saint. It is just trying to say we are there for one another. Are you getting it? We are there for one another. Praise God. Look at it there. It says there. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2. We are in verse 17. He tells us there, honor all men, love the brotherhood. It's fear God. How do I fear God? Hey, God, oh, how do I fear God? We fear God in how we show our reverence for God in how we treat people. Amen. That's what the Bible says, for example, when you, the James says, when you go to church, for example, and you're an usher in church, and then a person that is rich comes to church, you don't put the person at the front, and then the person that is not, that the Bible says, the person that is where is dressed badly, you now put him at the back and say, don't let him be with all the other people. He says, why are you thinking so carnally? Why are you actually classifying people based on their standards? No, their financial standards. No, you don't do that. You know, no, you don't do that. As a born-again Christian, we serve men, we love men, we honor men because they're in Christ. Being in Christ is the greatest wealth. It is until you start to value being in Christ as wealth, you will not know how to treat people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will not understand why we treat people well if you do not see that Christ is wealth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christ shows us that loving is serving. This, in discerning the body, the summary of the message is, as I discern the body, I serve the body. I serve the body, I mean I serve others. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Amen. So, as we go into a new year, you should draw up a list of in living for God, I will serve men. This is how I serve men this year. I will do that much more. That you. Now, God help me. I will stretch out much more. I will sacrifice much more. Because in love is sacrifice. In love is service. In love is thinking upon other people. I'm saying to you again, your praying and your word study is supposed to lead you to growing. I mean, it's supposed to lead you to serving other men. Any kind of growth that leads you to isolation is not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth will get you serving men, loving men, eating with men, feasting with men, doing life with men. Amen. Men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's get into the story of Jesus. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Let us look at John right now. John chapter 13. Are you there? Are you there? John chapter 13. We're going to be looking at a part of the Passover. Look at John chapter 13, verse 1. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, that he should depart from the world, he should go to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Verse 4, he riseth from supper. See, Jesus, after eating, he stands up from eating. He laid aside his garment. He started to put up his clothes, right? He took a towel and girded himself. So he removed his clothes and put a towel and covered himself. Look at the next verse there. Verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet. Hello? He began to do what? Wash the disciples' feet. Who was he? He was their master. He was their rabbi. What was he doing? He was washing the disciples' feet. What is he showing us? He is showing us an example of service. So in the Jewish time, the feet of the people, because it was a dusty town, a dusty country, was always dirty. So one of the things that you did as a servant when you come into the house of a Jewish man is that you wash his feet. The washing of the feet is the assignment that we give to people that are servants and people that are, like, as it were, humble. As a praise God. Look at it now. Let's continue here. So what is Jesus? He's the master. What is he doing? He is washing feet. Follow the analogy here. Why? Jesus is trying to tell a story. He's giving an allegory. He wants them to understand. The whole feet washing exercise will be a summary of his life and what he has come to do. Look at it there. He says in verse 5, he began to wash their feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was guarded. Then Simon Peter, who actually knew that, like, who is the outspoken one. A lot of people like John will not say anything and all the other guys, but Simon will say the mind of everybody. So Simon is wondering what's going on in verse 6. Then Simon comment, he comment to Simon Peter and said unto Lord, why are you washing our feet? Verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. Meaning, I am doing something, but what I am trying to do, you will not understand it now. Meaning that feet washing must be figurative, must be allegorical. Meaning it has a deeper meaning. You don't know what I am doing now. Continue. But thou shalt know thereafter. When is the thereafter? The washing of the feet, you will understand it after the resurrection. Follow me now. Look at verse 8. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Why? It's just like, for example, I have disciples that I passed on, all those kind of things, and they honor me and all of that. And one day I just say, you know what? I'm coming to come and wash their cars or wash their clothes and all those kind of things. No, pastor, you cannot wash our car. You cannot wash our clothes. That was the normal response that you normally give. So Peter is saying, never, I will not allow you wash my feet. Jesus is saying, this thing is not about the feet we are washing. He has a deeper meaning. Follow me here now. Look at verse 8. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. What is the feet washing? The feet washing was a symbolic and allegorical statement, a deeper meaning to say Jesus was going to wash away their sins. He was going to serve them by dying for them. Notice, why are we talking about discerning the body? The discerning the body, we are talking about the body of Christ. We are talking about Jesus, the head of the body. What does the head show us? The head shows us that he starts the ministry of serving. How does he serve? He served us by dying for us. What did he do? He washed away our sins. So he does a feet washing as a symbolic statement to say he will wash away their sins. I will serve you. So in the physical serving by washing their feet, he was talking about the deeper washing he will do, wherewith he will wash their inside new. He will wash them and make them new creations. Praise God. Amen and amen. What did he do? He served them. Don't forget the point. The point here is that he actually is sending a message that I have served you by my death and resurrection. I washed away your sins. You now go and do the same too. Not you now go and wash other people's feet. In the sense that, will they still be washing people's feet when I go to Israel next year? Will they wash my feet if I've gone around all of those places? Yes, the people that honor me will wash my feet from a point of view that, hey, pastor, this around, he's coming to the parlor, he should not stain the floor, praise God. And remember, so the point is they will wash my feet, so there is still feet washing that goes on from a traditional, cultural, way of living. But the feet washing that Jesus did on that day was to send a message that I will serve you by washing away your sins. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's continue here. All right. So Jesus started the serving. My point. No, see what Paul said. Peter said. Jesus said to Peter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Meaning the washing you is how you have a part in it. Meaning me dying for your sins and you believing the gospel is how you have become a member of my body. Look at verse 9. Zealous Peter. Peter then says, Lord, you know there are serious people, like they don't get it, but they act like they get it. Simon Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, my hand and my head as well. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needed not to save to wash the feet, but is clean every widow, and ye are clean, but not one. So what did he say? He said, he that has been washed is clean, meaning that when I clean you, you are clean indeed. What is he trying to say? When I die and come out of the grave and you believe the gospel, you are indeed righteous, you are indeed holy, you are indeed right. So what is the feet washing? The feet washing is actually an expose of a God who becomes a man to serve man so that man's needs may be met. So feet washing is actually a revelation. Jesus used feet washing as a revelation to social service so that you too, look at it there. Look at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye that I have done to you, verse 13, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for I am so. Verse 14. If I then, your master, have washed your feet, right? What does he say? Ye also ought to wash the feet of others. Verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17. Happy is he that knows this thing. What's the point there? As I have washed your feet, as I have sacrificed for you, sacrifice for others, serve others. So the point is this: the Christian life. One, as I'm teaching, I want you to start to think. The Lord is going to be dropping in your heart how, as it were, you can serve people, right? How, as it were, you can serve people, because the message of the gospel is that you have received the love of God that leads you to serve. You serve, you serve with your time, you serve with your money, you serve with compassion, reaching out to people, being there for people. Praise God, hallelujah, amen and amen. Let us look at, I showed you this to show you that when it comes to the gospel, you have received the life of love, the spirit of love, the gospel of love. The love of God now dwells on the inside of you, and that love leads you to serving other men. Praise God. Let us look at Luke 22 today. Luke 22, glory to God. Let's declare together, I am a chief servant. I live my life. You know, it was a priority to you. This is the proof of the love of God. The love of God burning in my heart is that I'm not living for myself. The love of God burning in my heart. Look at Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Right. I want us to start to read. Look at in Luke 22. I want to see something. I want to show you something here. Look at verse 24. And there was strife among them, which was the greatest. Verse 25. And he said unto them, the kings of this world. That's why your understanding must not be like that of the world. The world system, the leaders want to boss. No, in our kingdom, the leaders want to serve. Write that down. The leaders want to serve. Amen. He says, the kings of the world exercise lordship over them. So if you are looking for a place where which you can show that you are, no, it's not Christianity. Christianity is for servants. Hallelujah. Christianity is where we serve other people unto the uttermost. How far can I go? For next year, I'll go further. That's Christianity. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. He says, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. For he that is greatest amongst you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief amongst you, let him thus serve. Hallelujah. Verse 27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am amongst you. Notice, I am amongst you. I am your philosophy. I am your correction. I am your tipex.
that you use to correct the wrong mindset you have always had about living. In the world that we are in today, the King and the Lord wants to lord over everybody, right? But in the life in Christ, what do we want to do? We want to serve other people. As we saw Jesus during his time, serve others. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let us look at the same Luke 22. Luke 22. All right. I want us to read on verse 17. And he took the cup. Verse 13 will tell you that this was the Passover. Right? And remember, the Passover was a Jewish tradition. Right? Of a lamb that was slain in Exodus. They put the lamb on the lentil, and then the Egyptians were killed, and then the Israelites were spared, right? The lamb was sacrificed for the safety of the Israelites. A type and shadow of the Lamb of God that will be sacrificed for the sins of men. So the Passover's message is sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifice for the benefit of the other man, which is the message of the gospel. Because the Passover is about Jesus. Jesus is the Passover. He was the one that Moses was typifying when he killed the lamb. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, just write it down, you don't need to go there. The Bible says, Jesus, who is our Passover lamb. Christ is the Passover lamb. So when Moses was killing the ram and sacrificing the ram, it was a message to talk about the Jesus that will come and sacrifice himself for us. So Christianity is a gospel, it's a religion of sacrifice. That's my point. Christianity should stretch you. If it is not stretching you, if it is not taking you out of your comfort zone, my brother, we have not started. Christianity will stretch you. It will stretch you financially. It will stretch your time. It will stretch your resources. Because to actually be a blessing to other men, you must be stretched. Hallelujah. This is a message to tell you that is looking at me, yes, you, that you walk out of your comfort zone and reach out to men to be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. It will stretch you. You will wake up to pray, brother. You will wake up and set time to study the word of God, that you may know it, that you can preach and bless other people. It will stretch you. You will pray for the saints. It will stretch you. You will give of the money that you work for the gospel. It will stretch you. You will give your time to disciple another person. The gospel will stretch you. Amen and amen. You will serve in the local church. It will stretch you. You will be there before others are there. It will stretch you. The gospel will stretch you. You will check up on people. You will do follow-up of love. Not follow-up of if we don't follow them up, they will say we did not follow them up. It will actually stretch you. Christianity is a religion of stretching. It will. It is a gospel of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will stretch you. It was stretching men that made men leave Britain in those days and say bye-bye to their family members and go to Africa to be missionaries. It will stretch you. It is that thing that makes you serve in the local church, and the glory of your life is seeing men develop because you stayed to teach, you stayed to preach, you stayed in the place that you were put. Christianity will stretch you. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Luke 22. It is of the blood of a man, the firstborn, Jesus. It will stretch you. Luke 22. Luke 22. Are you there? It will stretch you. Ah, it will stretch you. Say, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought himself not robbery to be as God, and thought himself of no reputation, and humbled himself to the place of a servant to die. He became a man to die. It will stretch you. It will. Hallelujah. If it is not stretching you, you are not in the perfect will of God yet. Christianity will stretch you. Hallelujah. And that's why the Christian understand that the number one reason is on the earth is to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. The Christian man says, anything you will have me do, I'm ready to. That's Christianity. Even if it's outside of my comfort zone, the outside of my comfort zone is exactly where I want to be. The submitted life, it will stretch you, brother. Unless people are deceiving you, it will stretch you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 17. And he took, right, look at, where do we start from? Luke 22. And he said unto them, we desire, well, we are going to the communion now. We desire, have I desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer? For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled. Until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So this supper, this thing called Last Supper will be fulfilled. What is the fulfilling of the Passover? Luke 22, verse 16. You remember, this Passover, where did it start from? It started in Exodus, and they were doing it every year. Jesus said that this Passover will be fulfilled. What is the Passover about? A lamb being slain. Amen. A lamb being what? Slain. And upon it being slain, men were rescued from judgment and death. Jesus is now saying, I am the Passover lamb anyway. And okay, it will be fulfilled. Let's continue and see the fulfillment of it. Right? Verse 17. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. We're going to know what the drinking of the vine is. 19. And he took the bread again and gave thanks and break it and gave them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. What is the message of the communion? I gave myself for you. What is the message of the blood? I gave my blood for you. What is blood? Leviticus tells us the blood signifies life. So the gospel is saying, I gave my life for you. Write it down. The message of the Passover is the sacrifice. I gave myself for you. When will it be fulfilled? When the lamb himself comes and does what? Gives his life for you. So Jesus is saying that this is me. This thing that the Jews have been eating for many years, he's talking about me. Let's continue. Right? He says in verse 19, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. What will it mean that do this in remembrance of me? Right? Okay, look at verse 20. Likewise, he took the cup. This cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Hallelujah. He now says here, do this in remembrance of me. What does do this in remembrance of me mean? Will it be keep drinking the cup or keep drinking the wine? You can say yes. You can say no. But the point is, Paul will tell us if it's about drinking wine or eating bread, because really it's been fulfilled. But look at the scriptures. Look at the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Say, Pastor, why are you telling us about the communion? I want you to see that all of the activities of Jesus is talking to you about service. We talked about feet washing. Serving, washing our feet is a symbolism of washing our sins, sacrificing for us that we may have life. The Passover is sacrificing his life that we may have life. Are you getting it? Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. I hope you're getting it. Discerning the body is seeing that we are members of the same body, and the love of God gets you serving other men. Hallelujah. That means you are descending the body. We're going to get it quickly now. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 17. Something strange he says here. He says, now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that when you come together, you do not come together for better, but for worse. Meaning, when they come together, so as a church, should we come together? Yes. He didn't say if we come together. He says when we come together. Amen. Amen. One of the things I think we should even be doing much more when we come together now is we fellowship, we pray, we also eat together. Amen. Because that's what the Bible teaches us. Amen and amen. Right? Okay. Look at verse 18. It says, for first of all, you see it again, when you come together in the church, will coming together in the church ever go away? No. The Bible says when we come together. Yeah. Amen. It says, I hear that there be divisions amongst you, and I partly believe it. He said, I hear there be divisions amongst you, and I believe it. Look at where the division is coming from. Verse 19, for there must also be heresies amongst you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. This man is saying that for there to be division in the church, it means that there are people in that local church who are hearing another doctrine. I always say it every time.
almost every time. Anytime you find a group of people that cause division in a local church, most of the times they are hearing another message. They are hearing another gospel outside of the message of Christ. Division comes from another message. Division comes from another mind. When the gospel is being preached, division is never the fruit. So Paul is actually saying it here, that see, I hear that there is fighting amongst you. It's because you people are not paying attention to what I'm saying, and you are taking the message, you are hearing a message from another person. I always say, anytime, most of the time, I've been experiencing most of the time that there is division and all kinds of things, brethren are hearing another message outside the core message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something to note. Right? Because the message you hear determines your mindset. Let's continue anyway. It says in verse 19, for there must be heresies amongst you, that they which are approved may be manifest amongst you. Look at verse 20 again. When you come together, the third time, when you come together, therefore, in one place. Right? You see, the local church, they come together in one place. It says, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? So, in the coming together, the saints actually were going to have a feast. The originals in the Greek, the Lord's Supper there is talking, we are eating around the things that pertains to Christ. It's an evening meal anyway, right? You look at verse 21. It says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another one is drunk. Are you noticing what he's saying here? He's saying that the saints, when they come together to eat, as small as eating, he's saying, you know what? They did not prioritize the love work. What would the love work do? The love work is thinking of the other person. So when the brother comes to the local church during a feast and he wants to come early to eat all of the food, the Bible says he is not discerning the body. Discerning the body is thinking about the other person and saying, you know what? It is what affects this other person. What would be the best interest for the other people? Okay, there's a love feast. Let us come early to prepare the grounds that others may eat. Not let us come early so that we can eat. Are you getting it now? Why? Because the message we have received from the gospel is service. The breaking of the bread is service. In Jesus giving you his bread, his body, breaking the bread, shedding his blood was for you. So what we do as saints is for others. That's why we pray for others. We give because of others. We preach because of others. Are you getting it? Yep. That everything we do in the gospel is for others. Amen and amen and amen. Look at it. It says, for in everyone eating, one taketh the other his own supper. One is hungry and the other one is drunk. Look at verse 22. He says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Meaning there are things we do in our house. It's in your house you eat and drink and eat anyhow. In the local church, the reason for our eating is fellowship, not to get full. In that we just sat down together, we ate together, we fellowship together, right? We waited for one another. The love work. It might not even be food as it is. It's anything that we are doing. You as a believer, you are putting the other person first. Look at it there. It says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? You look down on the church. You look down on the body of Christ when you actually participate in the things of God and you are putting yourself first. I'll say it again. This is the high point of the message. You are looking down. You are insulting. You are actually embarrassing the body of Christ when you actually come to our gathering with you in mind. It says, look at it there. It says it there. It says, ye or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not. So you come into the local church. Some people come to that local church to come and eat so they can't even have food to eat. But by the time they come there, you've eaten all of the food. It says you have shamed them. Look at it. It says, what? Shall I praise you in this? I won't praise you. Look at the 23. For I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. He's now about to use the communion story. He's now about to tell us the real meaning of communion. For the communion is fellowship of service amongst ourselves. Amen. The communion is not us eating bread and drinking wine. It is us understanding the message that he saved us. So we save others. So the communion, the local church is a theater. It is a romantic comedy of service. Meaning a man sits down and is watching how men are dying to save one another. And they say the end, you know, just like they do in all those romantic comedies. It is the melodramatic atmosphere. It is the theater of,
actually saints doing what? Loving on one another. You need to understand it. The communion is a story of service. It is the theater of service. It is the stadium of service. It is the country of service. The local church is where we all come to serve. In us wearing another kind of cap, we are wearing a cap of embarrassment. Are you hearing? Amen and amen. When we make up our minds to come in another way, we have despised, we have forgotten that we are of the resurrected breed. Are you hearing me? Amen and amen. Look at it there. It says, verse 23, I need to conclude now. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the very same night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. Right? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He said he gave thanks. And let me tell you, when we are serving, we are not squeezing our face. We are not waiting for thank you. The Bible tells us he gave thanks. Excited to do. See, it's a privilege to serve you. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to preach the gospel. It's a privilege to do the things that I do. Excitedly so. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will never need motivation in my life to do anything for God. Why? Excitedly so. Because I have eaten of that communion. I have eaten of that bread. I have eaten, I have drank of that wine. It is a shocking wine. It intoxicates you absolutely, totally, foreverly. You are just on that mountain dew. You just want to serve other men. Hallelujah. And when your body is not up to it, you say, no way, come on. I remember that I have drank of that wine. I have eaten of that bread. There is nothing, there is no loose vein around here. I don't permit a looseness around the service of the saints. For serving the saints is championship to me. When I am serving the saints, I am in my Premier League. I am in my Champions League. Are you understanding me? I am in a final cup. Are you getting the point? I am in the Olympics. You see, serving the saints is the Olympics that we do as believers. Look at it here. It says, we received what Jesus Christ told us. He says, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How are we going to remember Jesus? It is not by eating bread and drinking wine. It is by going the extra mile. When I'm going the extra mile and my mind is asking me why, I say, this I am doing, remembering what Jesus did. So the reason for service is that I remember. When I leave serving, I have forgotten. When I remember, I will serve. In serving, I am doing it in remembrance of him. For in him, I received a service that I pass forward. Are you getting it this evening? So you live your life. Let me tell you, in 2022, live your life for the brethren, and you have lived it well. Successful 2022 is you serving men unto the uttermost. And when this body is failing, you tell it, you go again. You do again. You get radical. You get obsessed with it. It is something that, the Bible says, Epaphroditus, on the sake of serving the saints, he says his body gave way. I had to even pray for him. That's what Paul said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul talks about the people in Corinthian church. He says they were addicted to the service of the saints. It was an addiction. The way Brother Fail is addicted to cocaine, I'm addicted to the service of the saints. It's an addiction. If you stop me, you are doing me a disservice. Why? I have drank of that wine. And in that wine, there's an intoxicant in it to serve other men unto the uttermost. Praise God. And this is the life that I live. It is this life that makes you live self alone. You understand that you have received a calling, a vision, a plan, the purpose of God to serve God in your generation by serving men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at it here. It says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what will it mean? He's quoting Jesus. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. How do you show the Lord's death? You don't show the Lord's death by eating and drinking. You show the Lord's death by serving as he served. The showing the Lord's death is in doing that which he did. What did he do? He sacrificed for me and you. Praise God. In understanding that sacrifice, I lose every fiber of savvy of self. I talk to myself out of self. I say, no, I remember the bread that I ate. I have eaten this bread and I have eternal life. I have drunk this wine. There is no looseness in me. The people, the saints, they come first. I will never, ever make me number one. No, for I ate. I am doing this in remembrance of me. Someone might ask you, someone might say to you, why do you love the brethren so much? Oh, it's the bread I ate. It is the wine I drank. It is the wine and the bread of the gospel. It has intoxicated me and done something to me. I will give and I will give and I will give and I will give of myself. The gospel is treasure to me. He says, where my treasure is, my heart is there. I will give my treasures to it. I will give my time to it, for time is valuable to me. I will give my money to it. I will give my emotions to it. Why? I have drank of that wine. I have eaten of that bread. May I never be found in my comfort zone. You now say, whoa, it's me. You place a curse on yourself if you ever be in the comfort zone. Why? Because you have eaten of this bread. Hallelujah, say, Pastor, that is radical. No, if you don't understand it this way, you will live like a Christian and not make any impact. Hallelujah. And we all say glory, 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 but we know who is making impact. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. You show the Lord's death till he comes. You show the Lord. So you keep serving till he comes or you go. There is no, I retired. No, no. 80 years old, we are still serving. 90, we are still serving. It's either it comes or we go. We are still serving. We are looking for what else we can do. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. Look at verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever eateth, who shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily? What is he saying? Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. Who shall eat this bread? What is it? What is unworthy there? When you are serving the saints, with you in mind, when you are doing things for your benefits, prayer is about you, giving is about, everything is about you. He says, oh no, you are not discerning the body. You are living life unworthily. Selfishness has become king of kings. They've coronated selfishness on your head. No, no, look at it there. It says verse 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So eating of bread and drinking of cup is now symbolic of service. So as I am serving, I examine myself. Why am I serving? Am I serving for myself or am I serving for the saints? Why am I going this extra mile? Why am I giving this offering? Why am I giving this? Why am I doing this? Hallelujah. Why do I honor pastor? Why do I do this? Why do I preach? Why am I doing all of these things? You examine yourself. Hallelujah. Because there's an way to do it and you are doing it unworthily. Amen and amen. Look at verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Understand it. Not discerning the Lord's body, meaning that he did not put the body first. What is he doing? Is all the activities that you do, not putting the body, not putting the saints first, putting yourself first. He says you are doing it. It is damnation unto you. It is vain. No fruit. Are you getting it? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ calls off to serve. He says, verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body. What's today's teaching? Discerning the Lord's body. So what will it be? It will be that love is driving me. Every Christian thing I do, I have cross-checked it. I have cross-referenced it with love. And it's okay. Love is pushing me. Love is driving me. Love has obsessed me. Service has done something to me. Hallelujah. I commend you to God. For all of us that are listening to me worldwide, go to your local churches. Go to the saints. Love on them. Do this. You do this in remembrance of the one that died and was raised for you. Christianity is no mere religion. It's the life of God and it's the life of love that causes you to give your life for others, regardless of what anybody thinks or anybody says. There are many, many times, many people, they have given themselves for the gospel. They have lost friends. They've lost colleagues. They've lost fiancés, brothers, and all those kind of things. For Jesus' sake, it is worth it. Why? You drank an eath of that one who gave himself for you. I hope you have been blessed tonight. God bless you. Till we see your time, till we see you again, have a Merry Christmas and keep eating and drinking of the Lord's body and keep discerning. Amen. God bless you.